Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, thank you everyone for being here this morning. Now, today, we're going to be talking about the righteousness of God and the coming kingdom. But first, I want to explain to you who I am to be speaking of these things. Okay, because I'm not a minister, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a simple man who spent the last 4 years looking after somebody else's sheep. So I've been asking God, in fact, how am I qualified to be speaking about these matters? And here's what he said to me. He says, I called you out of the world. I showed you the way to righteousness, and you will inherit the kingdom of God. But I placed you in the care of somebody else's sheep to show you. And to prepare you for what I'm calling you into. To look after my sheep, who are so much more valuable than his. So today I'm speaking to you as a shepherd, called by God to show the path to righteousness and to proclaim the good news of the coming kingdom. And I'm here to tell you that God has a calling for each one of you as well. A calling that is different and unique to your own gifts and abilities, but grounded in that same righteousness that comes from God alone. Now, if the Lord has taught me anything as a shepherd in the last 4 years, it's that people are very much like sheep. They are so easily led astray. The Lord has really opened my eyes and my ears and my heart to the sad, sorry state of his flock in the world around us. And he's shown me how blinded and misguided so many of us are. And now I understand why in the Bible so often we are compared to sheep and goats. So as we get into the word this morning, I'm just going to share with you some important truths about God that many of us may have been taught otherwise. Now the problem is that too many people believe every word that they hear almost always without question. And because of this, many are being led astray. So I'm here to tell you that you can't just believe everything that you hear. You have to look into these things for yourself to make sure that what you're being told is true. Now today, we're just talking about spiritual truths, but this lesson applies to everything that you learn in life as well. And here's just a few examples of what I'm talking about. So just because a pastor tells you something doesn't mean that it's completely true. Doesn't mean it's not. Just because your teacher taught it in school doesn't mean it's completely true. Doesn't mean it's not. Or just because you saw it on CNN certainly does not mean that it's completely true. Anyways, I could go on, but the point is that you can't just believe something because you were told so. You need to question everything. And you need to look into these matters for yourself to make sure that you're not being lied to. And that begs the questions, who can I trust in and believe? And there's only one answer, and that is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let us pray. God, fill us with your wisdom so that we may recognize what is true. Grant us the humility to question what we think we know and challenge us to hold these things up to your word and test them. Give us the grace to accept that we may not always be correct and the perseverance to learn and grow through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, have you ever noticed that deep down, every person desires to be able to do whatever they want, to have whatever they want, to boss everybody around, to be loved and worshiped by everyone, and to be accountable to no one. Sounds like Satan when he said, I will be like the Most High. See, we want to be our own gods, and we can deny it, but we know it's true. We all have this disease that's hereditary, and it's called a sin nature. We're all born with it. Only in Adam and Eve were created in God's image. But after the fall of man, all of their offspring were born into the image of fallen man, every last one of us. And it's because of this innate desire to be like our own gods and to do things our own way that we wind up worrying over every detail of our lives. What are we going to eat or drink? Are we going to have the money for the bills? Are we going to have work? Will I be able to get all the stuff that I want? So what are we supposed to do about it? How can I answer God's calling without concerning myself to death over all the worries of this life? Now, before I was a Christian, and for a short while after I became a Christian, I was constantly chasing after these things, trying to gain all these earthly desires. I created a kingdom in my own mind, and I made it my mission in life to pursue that kingdom. But one day, I injured myself to the point where I had to close my construction business. And then I had to find another way to chase after these things. So I decided to go back to school. And while I was there, something terrible happened. Maybe some of you remember me talking about my near-death experience in college. I talked about it a while back. I nearly had a nearly fatal drug overdose thanks to our resident psychiatrist. Well, he thought he could get me through college by giving me a crazy amount of amphetamines and antidepressants. So anyways, between my back injury and this drug overdose, I was left physically and spiritually bankrupt. I quickly discovered how useless of a pursuit it really was. It was like chasing after the wind. It seemed like the harder I tried, the worse off I became. And it was at that point in my life that I knew I couldn't do things on my own. But I was too stubborn to ask God for help. Because I thought at the time that I had to change everything in my life and start following the rules like what God gave to Moses in the Old Testament before I could even be accepted by God. And I thought I had to do this in my own power and in my own strength and in my own righteousness before God would save me. Why? Well, because that's what I was told, and I believed it. See, I had no idea about the concept of God's grace or God's mercy. All I knew was that I needed God's help. I wanted to submit my will to his instead of my own, but I didn't know how to let go of my own will. I didn't know how to discover God's will. But I learned that when you get to the end of your rope and you pray desperately and fervently, as Dr. Raka was talking about last week, God can and will work miracles in you and through you. With God, all things are possible. And when you pray that God will show you his will for your life and lead you into his calling, you don't need to worry because God promises that he's going to meet all of your needs along the way. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Now, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after these, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does that even mean? Well, when we think of righteousness, what do we think of? Job was a righteous man, wasn't he? When God brought his attention to Satan, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds have spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, Very well then, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself do not lay a finger. So then Satan went out, and he systematically destroyed everything he owned, his flocks, his fields, his family, his belongings. Now, would God deliberately allow Satan to destroy a completely innocent man's life simply to prove to the devil that the man will surely not curse God to his face? Well, some people think so, but I don't believe that to be true. See, on the outside, Job really did appear to be completely innocent. But we know that no one on earth ever was completely innocent except for Jesus. And the fact that only God sees what's on the inside shows that he could see a hidden fault in his servant Job that nobody else could, not even Satan. And if you read the book to its conclusion, you'll find that Job's hidden fault was his pride or his self-righteousness. Now that is one hidden fault that many of us fall victim to. We say to ourselves, look at the works my hands have done. Look how awesome I am. You know, I followed all the rules. I didn't do anything to deserve this. It's not my fault. This isn't fair. Why is this happening to me? See, we take all the credit for the good things in our lives when we should be giving all the credit to God. And we try to justify all of our faults and our mistakes by blaming others or blaming God, when we should be asking God to show us our faults and to forgive us for them. Now in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, it says, To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Well, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So, can we become righteous by our deeds? No. Ask Job. Can we be righteous by following the law? No. Ask the Pharisee. In Romans chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Well, this scripture sounds like it's saying that we can be declared righteous by obeying the law, doesn't it? But the truth is, nobody is capable of following the whole law. And following most of the law won't cut it. In James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So, if nobody is capable of following the law, then what exactly is the point of the law? Well, Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 says, Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Okay, so does that mean that God gave us an unreasonable set of rules that he knew that we couldn't follow just to make us realize how much we suck? Of course not. Now, in fact, it's only after we realize that we cannot reach God's righteousness on our own that we realize how desperately we need a Savior. So how will we ever be declared righteous in the sight of God? My friends, here's the good news of the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 31, we read, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. We seek his righteousness by agreeing to allow his death to pay for our sins. See, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. This righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." Now, seeking God's kingdom means everything that we do is done with his kingdom in mind. For example, Jesus said it means using the wealth that we've been given to store up treasure in heaven instead of spending it on things that don't matter here. And one way we can do that is to repay the generosity that God has shown us by being generous to those in need. And we don't have to worry about giving too much away, because the measure we use in giving to others will determine the measure he uses in blessing us. Put it another way, Paul says, seeking God's kingdom means to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what we can't see. That means to have an eternal perspective instead of an earthly one. We shouldn't be so concerned with getting everything this world has to offer. Instead, we should be concerned with what the next life will be like. After all, that's the permanent one. This one is only temporary. He said it also means offering our whole being as a living sacrifice to God and refusing to conform to the patterns of this world. We should ask the Lord what he wants us to do with our life instead of going off and doing our own thing. In John chapter 3, Jesus said no one could see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And in Romans, Paul wrote that God's righteousness comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So therefore, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness means becoming born again by believing Jesus died for all of our sins and accepting by faith that we're forgiven. We don't become righteous because of what we do. We have been made righteous because of what we believe. Your relationship with the Lord is not based on a set of rules to be obeyed or a list of instructions to be followed. It's based on the attitude of your heart. Therefore, seeking the Lord's kingdom and his righteousness, as he admonished us to do in Matthew chapter 6, is a matter of making his will for you the first priority in your life. You've already sought his righteousness by becoming a believer, which also makes you a part of his kingdom. That means everything that you do should be for the purpose of pleasing him, whether it involves our work or our play, our relationships, or our worship. Now, decisions in any part of your life should only be made and implemented after consulting with him in prayer. Determining what the Lord wants for us can seem difficult in the beginning, but with a little practice and a lot of prayer, it becomes intuitive. Now, I'm going to share a testimony of how the Lord has showed us his will, my wife, and for our lives. Now, this began a little over 4 years ago when my wife and I had first felt God calling us into his will. We knew that the Lord was calling us into ministry, but we had no idea where it would be or what we would be doing or how it was going to come about. And at the time, well, I was still a fairly new Christian, and though I was really excited to jump right into it, I was still very naive about a lot of things. And looking back in hindsight, I know I wasn't prepared in any way to get into ministry. I still had a lot to learn. So I had considered taking out a student loan and going to seminary school. But we weren't so sure that that was what God wanted. And after my experience in college, I wasn't so sure that was what I wanted either. So my wife and I, we discussed a couple of options. And our first was we wanted to move maybe back to Wardsboro Island. And this is where my parents lived. I wanted to be closer to my parents. But I was scared at the same time that when I go back to Bow Island, I would fall back into my old ways and my old friends. And so anyways, and our other option is we kind of wanted to move closer to the mountains, which is, you know, kind of where we wanted to be. But it was a difficult decision because we didn't want to move further away from my parents either. So we prayed about it together. And then we decided to ask our pastor and the church elders to pray for us also. Now, this whole praying thing was still new to me, and I wasn't exactly confident that we were going to get a clear answer. Even though I had witnessed some answer to prayers already, I don't know that I truly believed it at the time that it was anything more than a coincidence. So I took a leap of faith, and we got together with the elders, and we asked them to pray for guidance from God to lead us into what He has planned for our lives. And I remember specifically telling the elders that I wanted God's plan for us to be so obvious and clear to me that I would not be mistaken. And so we told them that we were planning, my wife and I were planning a trip to Waterton. And we planned on stopping along each town between Lethbridge and the way to Waterton. And we were going to look around and see if we could find any job or housing opportunities. So we had them, the elders gathered around us, and they prayed that God would make it clear to us where He wants us to be, what He wants us to be doing, and that during our trip to Waterton, He would show us. So this was a scary thing for me because I was still used to figuring things out my own way, on my own, and I was still growing in my faith, and it wasn't that strong yet. And submitting my will to the will of God was the most difficult challenge I have ever faced. I was so scared that if I submitted myself to God and trusted in His word, that He would fail me. And then I would look like a fool to everyone who thought I was foolish to believe in God to begin with. But the day of our adventure came, and I gathered every bit of faith I could. We prayed, and off we went. So we left Lethbridge. And our first stop was in McGrath. And we checked out the bulletin boards in the local stores and restaurants, and we talked to a couple of interesting people. And we noticed some opportunity, but nothing jumped right out at us. So we continued our travel towards Waterton, and we did the same routine in each town along the way. And we discovered more neat things, but still did not receive a clear indication from God. We were anticipating that we would find our answer in Waterton, partly because that's where we would have liked to be, and also because Tasha had worked there before, and she knew some people, and maybe there's some connections there that could get us some work. So after talking to a couple of people there, we got nothing more than a couple of maybes if something comes up, and still no answer from God. So feeling rather disappointed and tired, we headed for home. But along the way, I noticed a sign for another town that we never stopped at on the way up. And the name Hillspring reminded me of a rent-to-own house that I had noticed on Kijiji a while back. And, we felt just kind of compelled to go at least and have a look. Now, it was a little bit out of our way, but it was fine. So, and it was also our final stop to see if God was actually going to answer us that day. Well, we got there. We drove around the little town until we found the house. And even looking at it, we knew we couldn't manage a rent-to-own house, but it was still neat to look at anyways. And the house was cool. It was a neat-looking little town. And then we went down to the general store and thought, well, we got to look at the bulletins there as well. And when we asked the owner if they had a posting, he says, no. but the post office next door, they have a bulletin we could look at. So we went to the post office, which was nothing more than an 8x10 shed, you know, with a partition wall in the center where the post office lady worked. And sure enough, there was a bulletin board, which had nothing overly interesting except for a sign that said farmhouse, reasonable rent. Well, my wife and I, we've been saying for a while that we would love to live on an acreage near the mountains. But, you know, we are currently on a very small budget. We're living in subsidized housing in Lethbridge, and we knew we couldn't afford any more than what we were already paying for rent as it was. And I remember a good friend of mine who knows a little bit about farming and such, he had told me that we would never find a farmhouse for rent as cheap as what we were paying in subsidized housing in Lethbridge, unless, he added, God does something to make it happen. So anyways, I said to my wife, I wonder what they mean by reasonable. And then this adorable little woman behind the partition wall, she kind of snickered out loud. And I peeked around the corner, and I asked her what was so funny. And she said, well, I think there's a catch to that place. And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, the guy who owns it, he has a bunch of sheep, and he's looking for someone to look after them. And instantly, it was clear as day and completely unexpected. I raised my hands, I looked up, and I said, serious? You want me to be a shepherd? So, well, we were convinced that we had our answer. So we wrote down the number, and we left for home. And we still hadn't even talked to the owners, but we just, you know, the excitement and the anticipation of the whole thing, it was overwhelming. And when we got home that evening, I thought, immediately, I called the number to find out some details about this place. And I wanted to, first of all, find out if we could even afford it, because I remembered what my friend had said about affording it. And it turns out that the rent was almost double what we were paying in subsidized housing. But if we were willing to look after the sheep, then the rent would be almost exactly what we were currently paying. So after talking to the owner's wife for nearly an hour on the phone, we discussed all kinds of things, and we agreed to meet at the house and work out some details. And then she said to me that she was pretty sure that we were a direct answer to their prayers. And I was really taken aback. I was, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, that her and her husband, who turned out to be Christian as well, had prayed for a young couple who would be willing to move into this old house and perhaps be interested in learning to take care of the sheep. And then I remembered something that a woman had said to me in church a couple of days previously. And she had a word for me from God, which I found really strange because I've never heard of such a thing before. But anyways, the word was timing. And I was, didn't know what that meant. So I thought, okay. So I'm trying to figure out the significance of this word, and I asked the woman I was talking to on the phone how long they'd had this sign up in the post office for. And she told me that they put that sign up there that very same morning. Timing. Wow. So we had prayed for clear and obvious direction from God to lead us into where he wanted us to be. And they had prayed for the right people to come along and be interested in raising sheep. And the fact that the timing was perfect, it was undeniably clear that God had answered our prayers. There was no possible way that that could have just happened by coincidence. And to top it all off, within 1 month after moving into this new place, my parents bought a house in Hillspring and moved there as well. So that's when I became a shepherd. God is so awesome. See, and God knows my character. After all, he created me. And he knows that I'm more of a hands-on kind of a guy. You know, I prefer to learn, to try and learn physically myself by trial and error. I learned carpentry by doing it, as opposed to going to school and being taught a particular way to build things. I learned music by doing it, not by going to music lessons. So this is likely the reason why God sent me to a sheep farm rather than seminary school. But this was a valuable lesson for me. It increased my faith in a big way. It showed me personally how God answers our prayers when we're willing to submit our own will to God's. So, taking a leap of faith and trusting in God to answer our prayers and directing our lives. That's what I learned in there. And here's what I'd like to ask for each person here today is the same thing, to just take a leap of faith, to pray like you expect an answer, and ask others also to pray for you and to ask God to make it clear to you so you won't be mistaken. So as we go back here into a time of worship, I want you to pray for guidance into your calling. And if anyone, ask the person next to you as we're up here too, and ask that person, maybe they can pray for you as well. You see, God doesn't expect you to figure it all out on your own. He wants you to come to him for help. He is a good father, and he loves you very much, so much that he sent his son to die on the cross so that you could be made righteous. All you have to do is just believe, and God will handle the rest.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.